Louder will be issuing some books of his from time to time that you haven't seen. And I assure you that every one of them is very important. He says things that may be new to some of us, and he says things that he has often said, and he repeats from a different angle. He was about a perfect teacher for a certain kind of person, and he never left anything hanging, and he always came back to it. He cleaned it up, drove it into you. I never studied anybody but Joel, and it didn't seem necessary. I may have read, you know, I read a lot of things, and I read every religion, and I admired them all. Every chance I'd get, I'd read a book on Hinduism or Maui. There's big statues of the Buddha. The Karmapa once visited there, took my bedroom away, but he came with 50 people, and I was in his bedroom, and the person I was with kept sending me notes every day, "You got to get out the Karmapa, he's the second man in Tibet." And "I'm going to get out," I said, any day now. Finally, on the day I was supposed to get out, I think my things were still in, and she could have put them out, but she didn't. And I missed him by about an hour. He didn't have a quarter to live, and he took, you know, what I had. I wondered why the second highest man in Tibet was traveling around the world, and he came to this house. Why he stopped there, I wondered. Shortly thereafter, I understand he left the world. I guess they got another second highest. But I didn't detect anything in him that was, you know, something that would live with me and I'd think about. He just was a face to me, nothing else. I wonder how much of the Orient got the message we're getting in the infinite way. I realize that we can't look down at another teaching. And don't think for a minute I'm looking down at their teaching, I'm looking up. But all the chants that I hear around, and I hear a lot of people in Buddhism, for some reason, the inner circle of Buddhism never appears. All I see is these outer chants. And it's nice to be amused, but I don't know where they're getting with it. It's 10 years and 20 years later, they're still doing it. And it's like they're trying to drum something home. But I don't see what they're trying to drum home. If I say to one of them, who might be high, when you're invisible, how does it feel? Well, what's that? So I wonder what they're learning. I shouldn't be saying that because it's a sort of a criticism. And yet it's not a criticism. I wish they would open up and learn. I think you don't know it yet, but one day you're going to realize that this class has been very different. We didn't start out slow and build up to it. We didn't say, now you know this is so, and therefore this is so. All these niceties we eliminated. We had a knock-down, drag-out class purposely. I wanted to live with you. I want you not to forget it. I want you to be acting immediately from that standpoint. And you'll understand what I'm saying when you come to a crisis in your life and you're going to have to solve it. and there's going to be something in you that wants to get out and push and drive and everything. The thing we haven't stressed, which has to be stressed, don't exercise your will. That's a horrible thought for some of you. Do not exercise your will. If we gave a whole class on eliminating your human will, it would do a world of good. Because every person has intelligence, and he wants to use that intelligence, and he's told, be still and know the truth. Well, how will I know the truth if I don't use my intelligence? That's a natural question. Well, we don't use our intelligence, we use God's intelligence. Be still and know the truth means listen to God. Well, he won't tell me what to do. I've tried to listen, he never says anything. I'm still at a quandary what to do about this and that and the other thing. You've got to come to the place where you're getting divine advice, divine wisdom. You cannot do it with your intelligence. That's a come down for you, but it's a come up for the self. We cannot get into heaven with human intelligence. There's no way. And if we're not trying hard for heaven, we might as well quit anyway. Because that's where we're going, or we're not going anywhere. There's only one place that you go after this world. That's on your way to heaven, or go back and start over and try again. And I'm hoping that we'll meet again. And you know where I want to meet you. There are certain fundamentals that we're going to come out of this eight-class seminar with. And one is that truth is right here, and it's demanding that you open up a way for it to come out, that you do something that you don't normally do. How can I let the truth of God out of my system? Well, you know, while I was worrying about this one day, and I think that's what made this a special seminar, I was asleep maybe 11, 12 o'clock. I go to sleep early, but anyway, I turned around and there was a man in my bedroom. I was flabbergasted. I wanted to call somebody and say, you know, somebody in here. This wasn't at the hotel. It was at home. He didn't say a word. I thought maybe I'd ignore him, maybe he'd go away. So I turned over. And I peeked back. He was still there. Well, anyway, I figured there's only one thing to do. I'm going to face him. I still hadn't said a word to him. I'm going to face him. So I turned around to face him. There was no one to face. He wasn't there. So I thought about that. Not that night. I said, oh, that's fine. I'm glad he's gone. I didn't like anyone coming to my room. And I was asleep in 10 minutes, but I was bothered. I hadn't been drinking wine or anything, you know. So what was this? Do I have apparitions? Am I that old? I began to wonder. What in the world happened that I started thinking that way and saw a man? Come to think of it, he was about 15 years old. And very smooth. He had a white body. It was a white body right there. So I went to sleep. I discovered it was Joel. We said nothing. The lesson was obviously given to me. The lesson on the entire seminar, the spiritual body. Learn about it. It's the basis of living on the higher levels. Your spiritual body, incidentally, comes from the sixth level. It's going to marry your soul on the fifth level. That's what the mystical marriage is. Your spirit and your soul. You've got that to look forward to. Anyway, that was my experience, and it was brief as that. I have the corroboration that it was Joel. I know it sounds weird to some people, and it'll be picked up, and they'll say, oh, he's pretending. And it's, they often say that about some of the things you say. And you wonder why you say them yourself, but they're given to you. At any rate, Joel has been responsible for the seminar, not me. I can guarantee it. And I think in books to come out that haven't come out yet, even though he wrote them some time ago, you'll find traces of this that haven't been in the previous books. Keep your eye open for it, will you? Because I think that's what happened. Now, when Joel comes, he doesn't come as Joel. He doesn't say, here I am, I'm Joel, and I want to do this. He just comes. He comes like a young angel of the next world. I presume that's what he is, a young angel of the next world. I presume that was the form I saw of Joel in the next world. Only the next, not the sixth and the seventh. Not that he can't go there, but what he has to do, he's doing. Probably teaching. Meanwhile, we hear the fact that we are noticed, and I mean noticed, it says something to us that our path is very special. The ways we open up, the newness of our teaching. In the old teaching now, it's been here sometime since 30 or 40, and something new is coming into it now. Something very vital. Because what is a spiritual body? Just think what it is. It's the body that has been on the earth and in heaven since who knows when. It's always been here. And you have always had it. Only you haven't been a realized being. Now this body is going to play the most important part in our life. I don't know if there's 100 billion trillion or if it's endless, but there, everybody has that body, the same one. And you can't operate on a higher level without that body, because you can't operate on this level without this body. And on the higher level, that's the body. You are actually saying, I'm through with this body now. When I move up, the only way I can live is to have a body. And it won't be this. Material bodies are as obsolete as last year's 1933 Fords. And that's a funny thing. Come into a strange world and we watch civilization run by and we suddenly discover something that's outlandish. There is no civilization. What a dream. Amazing. We've all been living that dream. And you can't shake it because it's you. So how do you shake it? You've got to get to the core. You can't shake this with your mentality. You can't say, I'm not this, I'm something else. You can say it, but you cannot realize it with your mind. Your mind goes as high as this fourth level and it stops dead. You got to live above the mind. Now, it's not good for tax purposes and other things to live above the mind. So people don't. I can't have fun, the usual fun that I want to have, above the mind. The mind is a useful commodity. And a certain mind is a Phi Beta Kappa mind, and a certain mind is, you know, goes to Rhodes Scholar and so on. Fine people, but doggone it, that mind can't go with you. So now we're in the process of becoming a child again. A total child. And we understand some of the things that Jesus said, ever the child shall lead them. Things that didn't make sense to us, you know. But he's turned it around. So I go to this soul body, which is the core of spiritual living. And it's called a spiritual body. This was taught to some of our students, and I'd asked about it. I said, I think maybe the soul spiritual body is unknown to some people. One man told me yesterday, what is that? I just felt like a strange person with someone who's in our works along saying to me, what is that? Well, I asked someone who's been in the work sometime since, she said 28 years, so 22 years rather. I said, didn't we talk about soul bodies in this? Yeah, she said, back in Catalina, I think, at the beginning, you discussed soul bodies, but you haven't been back to it, spiritual bodies, since then or something. At any rate, it's a spiritual body that makes you part of God's universe. Until then, you actually don't live in God's universe in your consciousness, only in your sense of consciousness. Material living isn't in God's universe. You can see that arms are cut off, organs inside become dead. It's not God's universe. Don't pretend that it is. And don't make excuses for God not taking care of things, because God only takes care of things in reality. And what isn't God's universe isn't reality. And the universe of God, the fifth and sixth and seventh levels of consciousness. When you see somebody whipping a dog or somebody whipping a man who they think should get it, and another man drunk and all the odd things you see on this earth, and when you become part of some of those things yourself, you say, where's God? Why are we left in this position? Well, why don't you get in God's universe? We don't recognize our own hypnosis, that's all. The mental hypnosis of the human race, which is so total, is completely unknown to the human race. It is under hypnosis. It sounds like a fairy tale, doesn't it? Well, you've been under hypnosis. You're only coming out of hypnosis as you learn the truth, as you learn the spiritual content of your life. Everything that is not spirit is imperfect. Whatever is imperfect is not a God creation, and therefore is not real. Take everything in your life that's imperfect and look at it. Anything. What makes it imperfect? Does it last forever? No, it's not perfect. Isn't that strange? What doesn't last forever isn't perfect. Does it work always? No, it's not perfect. Well then, when things happen to you and prevent you from working correctly, what about you? Not perfect. Are you God's creation? No, you are not God's creation. There's no one on the earth created by God. It's a strange statement. And yet, the invisible of that person is a God creation. The invisible of you is a God creation, not the visible. That's why some faces are long, some are stout, some are short, some are ugly, some are rather nice looking, so forth. The variety isn't for our sake. It's just the way mortal mind works, the hypnosis. Actually, you're a perfect being. There's absolutely nothing in you that isn't perfect. Trouble is, you're not visible. Now, we take the universe out of the invisible. That's the first time you take and work the universe over and try to understand it. Turn ye. What a strange statement. Turn ye and live. I didn't know what to do when I first saw that. It sounded nice. It, you know, it makes nice rhythm and pretty clever and all that, but when you examine it, what does it mean? Turn me and live. So I turn, and I look at the same sights. All right, it must mean something else. So I try to turn my consciousness around. But I can't turn it to the invisible because I don't know the invisible is there. But then you get to your approaching the end of material consciousness and the beginning of spiritual consciousness, and to turn ye from material consciousness, seeing the wood, the steel, the everything that's visible in this world, turn to spiritual consciousness. Now the words finally take shape. Turn ye and live. And of course, as you turn to the spiritual consciousness, and that is living. Of course, it's a little spirit and 99% matter, and then a little spirit and 83% matter. You know, matter decreases and spirit increases. But there's no increase in the spirit, there's just an increase in your intake. It's been always there, 100% of it. I think at this level of this teaching, it's a gopher broke. It's not a halfway teaching. You can't be comfortable in it and say you'll get a nice little niche and it'll go at that. This is a gopher broke teaching now. We've let in the total truth, and you either go all the way or you don't go at all. All of it, you can live in a comfortable way and know a little bit of it. You know, you can get by. You'll get a lot of problems, but you'll be able to handle them, and you'll get by. You'll get out of this world pretty well, and you try it the next time, and finally you'll get to the truth and want to study it. Now I'm talking to people who have made up their minds where they're going. The others will have to study something else, that's all. But the ones who have said to themselves, wherever God wants me to go, I'm going. That's as simple as that. And I'm not making up my own mind. Turning myself over to God. I'm living in God's universe, and I'm living the God life. Now what'll I do, Father? You know he won't turn you down. Anyone who says, what will you do, Father, for me? What do you want me to do? Instead of, what can you do for me? Is going to get a hearing. What do you want me to do? And that's what it's all about. What does God want us to do? How do you know? If I asked you, or you asked a child, what does God want us to do, do you think? The child might give a better answer than some adults. The child will say he wants us to be good. He wants us to, well, obey him. You know, things like that that indicate he's thinking right. But basically what God wants us to do is be like God exactly. You are the image of God. There cannot be a thing in you that isn't the image of God. That's why you can't have any crime. You're the image of God. It's very hard to make people perfect. Perfection is so elusive. But when we are given the weapons of a father, and we've been given every one, and we have to work at it, of course. You have to think you're going through hell sometimes to get to heaven. But the way, for one little ounce of a second being told that you're going the right way. Everything you've done doesn't mean a thing. I'm going the right way. Just a little glimmer of hope always. And when you find a reward, even though it's minor, just a reward to say you're going the right way. There's nothing can stop you. You're going to keep on that road. Once you feel you've got someone who is listening to you, someone who's watching you, and that's what we feel in the spirit. In fact, you get a quick reprimand if you know you're wrong. And a quick congratulations when you have managed to fall into the right rhythm in the right place. If I were teaching a child, and I'm not, so I maybe don't know what I'm talking about when I say so, but what I would do, I'd give that child the options. Whenever in doubt, I want you to listen to God. I'll teach you how. You listen to God and see what God tells you to do. God tells you to do something, do it. I think maybe as he grows up, or she, or whatever, there would be a sort of a, between them, a byplay. He or she, the child, would be turning to God, and that would solidify. In fact, by a certain age, the child would know that when I want something that God doesn't want me to have, he lets me know. And when I'm on the right track and he thinks this is good for you, or when I'm not on the right track, he pulls me over to where I should be, I get that help. Now, if every child would get that help, can you imagine what would happen? I think that help is available. Just that we haven't really trained the child to listen to God. That's because we haven't listened. So we're going to get into the habit saying, Father, you told me to turn and live. Well, I'm willing. But when I turn, there's no one there to help me. I need your help. I want to follow your instructions. The Father will tell you, you just follow my instructions, you'll get the help you want, whether you know it or not. There'll be someone there you don't see waiting to trick you and show you the right way from there. And I believe it. I believe God leaves nothing to our imagination. Everything is covered. So when we plow in right where we think we should, even though there's nothing there, whatever must be there will appear. It's a miraculous world. Now the Father says, in your spiritual body, everything is perfect. You won't get any cuts, you won't get the cold, you won't get this and that. And if you do get those things, just figure, I'm not yet in my spiritual body, because those things won't happen in it. The spiritual body is capable of things that you're not capable of right now. But that's not tomorrow, because tomorrow you might be in awareness of the spiritual body. Now, a person is not living in the spiritual body. There's nothing you can do to bring into your life the divine law. Divine law only functions in the spiritual body. You know, it's not very difficult to live in it. In fact, some of you live in it very well right now, but aren't even aware of it. That's why you're walking around so nicely and getting things done. You're getting invisible help because you have found the spiritual body. And when you become more conscious of it, you'll realize what happens. The spiritual body responds only to God. It cannot respond to what they call a devil. It cannot respond to an evil impulse. Even if mortal mind comes through you and says, do this, do that, tries to get it every way to get you interested, it can't come through your spiritual body. Prime ambition then is to build your life pathway with anything that is necessary that indicates it's the road to heaven. This road has been traveled in all the books and all of the fairy tales, but it's a road, all right. It's an invisible road. And we can all take it, and I for one, I don't know any other road in the world, at least I don't want to know. We've got to go that way. So let's say today, right now, next hour, how do I break down my life into something along divine lines? Well, for the class, we'll say, I'm learning divinity or the nature of divinity. Then I'm going to go home. I'm going to be on my own. Will I respond to the world? It tells me what to do. Or will I say, wait, let me dwell on in the spirit. Let me listen for the voice. Let me find what the Father has. That's the first decision. Am I going to live in the world, or am I going to live in the Father's instructions? instructions may not be very exciting, whereas the world will offer all kinds of excitement. But always reflect on the source, which is the divine source. A step further. I'm living in a divine source, I think. Shall I speed it up? Can I? Do I have the right to? What do I do to improve the source, its capacity? And the answer is, you answer that question automatically by the amount of attention you give it. If you want something to happen in the source that isn't happening, it's because you're not doing something in the reception. You're only listening half time. You got your other half out in this world. You're doing something that is not letting the full flow come through. Want to try an experiment? You want to write me every month for a while? I'm suggesting you do, if you want to. I'm suggesting in 1 month you send me a letter saying, these are the signs that I have found the path to the spiritual body. This has happened, that's happened. This isn't much. I know it's just a promise, and this and that and the other thing. But whatever you tell me, just tell me truly. Don't boast about it. Don't feel bad about it. Just tell me truly. This is what is happening. I'm getting this closer to it, or I'm discouraged. I find that I can't break through with it. Whatever it is, in 1 month, you put down on paper a page or two. Doesn't have to be long. Just contact. Let me know what you're doing, if you're succeeding, if you're finding the path is open, if you're finding it closed, what the obstacles are. Well, in no time we can have it straightened. That's what I think. So now you're invited to do that, and I wish you will. I'd like to get that letter. Sign your name so I can read it. And if I can, I will, if I find that suggestions flow, I'll send them gladly right away. I want you to do it. I want to feel. I want to watch you grow. Whatever success I have in this work is on the growth of the student. I want you to grow. If I don't get a letter, naturally, I can't help you at that time. You're going to leave here on Monday, that's today, isn't it? And whatever the date is, 1 month from now, I ought to put the letter in the mail. Nothing happens, it's been dull, or wow, and or something like that, you know. I'll get a lot of letters from people who are really going. On that day or that week, that mailman ought to be awfully busy. As far as I'm concerned, that'll be the most important mail there is, because each one is a future heavenly inhabitant. I will only get letters from people who are on the way to heaven. If I told that to the postman, he wouldn't know what I'm talking about. Let them keep alive the idea. Now let's get back to that spiritual body, because that's what's going to get you there. Your spiritual body is there, only it doesn't sit down and write letters. It isn't going to say, I've been here. The mortal consciousness is going to write the letter, but it's going to tell me about its divine nature, its the growth of it, the development of it, the ideas that are ahead and luring you in. Then it's going to tell me about some ideas that I've been wary of, and I would like your opinion. Is returning from this world and living involves living in a different world, a world of perfection, a world where everyone who lives forever, not because a human being said so, because the Father said so. A world without crime. And there is such a place. A world where people do not eat up each other with desires. We're not even going direct to heaven. We're only going to the first level. That little section of it. You will wander around there in your soul. You still have a spiritual body, but you'll know it better. You'll understand it better. Just to refresh you, right now, it won't be your personal property. It's everybody's personal property. Everyone is in that spiritual body. Everyone who realizes that I'm in it is in it already. You'll be going to a spiritual body which is inhabited by your parents, your grandparents, and everybody who had preceded you on the road to heaven. It'll be easy to reestablish how silly we've been in certain ways. We could have gone a certain other way. I hope you realize that this is a very serious undertaking, that we treat it lightly in words only. It's a serious undertaking. But there's no opportunity that can equal it. It's an inevitable thing. If you get there in 1999, or you get there in year 3099, it'll always be the same. You won't find time after you come out of this parenthesis. You look at the name now, parenthesis. You understand it a little better? Parenthesis in eternity. The parenthesis is what? How many parentheses have you been through? On one level, you've been through almost four. Each world that you've been in has been a parenthesis. And when you go to the fifth level, it's still a parenthesis. It won't be getting to the final until the fifth world soul of you looks out and sees the spiritual body of you and says, oh, I had a glimpse of that on earth, but nothing like this. And when those two are wed, your spiritual body and your soul, both of which one has the capacity to know everything, one has the capacity to reject everything that's imperfect. When they are wed, we leave that till they are wed. Because we're all Christ in the making. And maybe we have found that this is what we had in mind by the Father, that this is the path. It isn't reading a talk in a church, sitting down and agreeing with somebody who says something, and I'll be back next Sunday. It's not like the church service. This is totally between my soul and my spirit. They're getting acquainted now.